We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We welcome you to the Refresh radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. So I pray that you are having a good week. Want to start off today by reminding you of our vintage service tomorrow at 11 a.m. and then our Boys and Girls Ministry tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 7:45. So if your kids have a very early bedtime, you can still get them to Royal Rangers and Missionettes. All of our workers are background checked. They're taken very good care of, and you can still get them home in time for a snack and bedtime, and they can still wake up refreshed the next day. And so tonight we want to let you know, remind you about the Advanced Christian Training Schools, 633-0432, 633-0432. If you have any questions about that, good reports that come in from that. It's a ministry that meets in our fellowship hall, not part of Merit Assembly of God's curriculum per se, but we are able to open our facilities on a few occasions to other ministries on Fridays. We have the special gathering choir. By the way, if you are out there and you've never had the opportunity to hear the special gathering choir, you might want to check them out. Richard Stimson, a friend of mine, he is the head of that ministry and ministers to people in this community that love God, love Jesus, have a heart for Jesus, and they go around and travel to various churches in the county. It is a phenomenal ministry, and I hope that you get an opportunity to hear them at some point in time. So today we're going to continue again. We, believe it or not, it may seem like you might have the mindset, is he ever going to get off of this topic, give us this day our daily bread? Well, the answer to that question is yes, we are. But the other aspect of that question is, you know, I have yet in all of my days of ministry to find a single day where there wasn't somebody that had some sort of need in their life. And so maybe that day that you had a need and this word impacted you was several days ago, or maybe it hasn't come yet, but today somebody in Brevard County is going to run into this situation and they need to know, God, give us this day our daily bread. How does that work? How does that become a reality? And so today we're going to start in verse number 27 of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 27. And it says this, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So we're talking about the process of that God uses most of the time. You know, occasionally you will have an unexpected, unsolicited blessing that just drops in your lap. But most of the time, God is going to give us this day our daily bread by providing us with an assignment to do, a task to do, a job to that needs to be done, and he's created it for us to accomplish with his strength, with his power, with the ability that he gives us, and it's not just going to meet the need, but it is going to go above and beyond the need. And so here it in verse number 29, it says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. God does not want you to be the proverbial 90-pound spiritual weakling. That's not what he's called you to do. He has called you to be a formidable spiritual foe. The book of Romans says, and the God of all peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And you know, it's not because of how strong you are. It's not because of, your superior intellect or anything. It's because of the God who lives inside of you. And so today you may feel extremely weak and feeble, but God wants to produce in you a strength that is formidable. This isn't in my notes, but as I'm just sharing this today on this Tuesday, I'm reminded of a tree sapling, And when that shoot comes up out of the ground, it is extremely feeble. It doesn't have really much more strength than a blade of grass. It can be bent. Be chopped in half or just shaped in whatever form or fashion that it needs to be. But if you allow that thing to sit there, God has created a nutrition system for it that turns that which is very feeble and is easily overcome into something that is very powerful, very strong, and very intimidating. It can grow into a tree. I've read articles of trees that they have aged out to that they are over 5,000 years old. One of them was called the Methuselah tree. And so I want you to know that if God can do that for a little bitty tree sapling, how much more can he do that for you? But the thing is, you and I, the only way we get stronger is if we utilize the strength that he has already given to us. We have to put into practice the strength that we already have. We've got to use what he has given to us so that as he sees our faithfulness to utilize the resources we've been given, he will provide us even greater resources. That's why if you are putting off obedience to the Lord in the area of finances, You are never going to have that spiritual breakthrough in the area of finances, because you're never going to reach that place where you're going to say, you know what, I think I can trust God now with my finances. I was tithing when I was making less than $100 a week. I was tithing when I was a part-time grocery clerk. Tithing is a major principle in my life, and you know what? The best I can tell, God is going to continue to be stretching us in the area of giving and growing, because I don't just want the faith I had yesterday. I don't just want the faith level that I've got today. I don't need just the power I've got today. I need to be stronger, because the enemy is looking for people that he can take advantage of, and I don't want to have that victim to be me. It says here, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So I want to ask you today, are you tired of the fatigue and the weariness of doing it your way instead of God's way? Until we come to that place where we are tired of trying the same old principles over and over and over again, until we are worn out from our own efforts, then we are not going to be ready to receive God's efforts. I've been told that when they are training lifeguards, if they are out there to rescue a person and the person is, you know, very combative at that point in time, that the lifeguards will separate themselves from that person until they wear themselves out to where the person can actually rescue them. Now, that principle is more important to me than just an illustration, because when I was a child, I was invited to a pool. I ended up in the deep end, and I started to panic. It wasn't just a little bit. I was panicked. And a friend of mine came over and tried to rescue me, and I almost drowned him in the process of trying to keep myself alive. And so I understand that principle. I understand that as long as we're trying to do it in our strength, God's going to let us try and do it in our strength, but it's not going to yield the fruit that God wants us to yield. So I ask you again, are you tired of the weariness of doing it your way instead of God's way? Drug addicts across the country have plenty of family members that want them off drugs, but until that person comes to the end of their breaking point and says, you know what, I am tired of living like this. It was just a little over a week ago that there was a person who's got a very high-profile athletic career, and I don't know exactly how many drug tests he's failed, but this one was a big one, and somebody came out and said, if he doesn't change his ways, he's going to die. He's going to die. And so you and I don't want to go around being weary all the time. I want to make the changes. And it says, even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So how does God go about renewing our strength to accomplish the task that he has for us? And this is going to sound strange, but verse number 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, please understand that waiting is not a sitting around and twiddling your thumbs. It's not like sitting in the doctor's waiting room. It's not like sitting at the traffic light and there's no traffic going any direction. All four lights are hung up in a red sequence like I've seen on a lot of occasions. That waiting upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, it is something that says, God, I'm going to spend time in your presence, and I am going to tend to your needs. I am going to minister to you. You see, we live in such a self-obsessed society that we think that it is all about us all of the time. And the kingdom of God, there's this this revelation that has to take place at some point in time in your spiritual walk where you realize it's not all about you, it's about him. And we are not waiting upon him as our savior. We are not waiting upon him as our friend. We're not waiting upon him as the lover of our soul. We're waiting upon him as the Lord. That's where we're waiting upon him, because he is God and we are not. One of the things that I say at church a lot of times is I am so thankful that I'm not God. The world would look a lot different if I was God, because I don't have all of the patience that God has. I follow that statement up with a second statement, and that is this: I'm also thankful that you are not God. But I am extremely thankful that God is. God is holy. He is just. He is long-suffering. He is patient. He is good. He is kind. He blesses his people. And so what it says here is the more time that we spend in the presence of God, the stronger that we are going to be. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's all the talk about the armor of God, you know, with the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. But it goes on and it says, and praying always in the Spirit. You and I, we need to commune with God. He is our commander in chief. Not only that, he's our life. He is our strength. He is our fortress. And so I encourage you that if you are tired of the weariness, if you are tired of being the spiritual victim, if you are tired of not being able to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish, then you need God's strength, which comes from waiting upon God. Do you realize that Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is known to us because God granted him favor as he waited upon his king. He had developed such a relationship with his natural king that the natural king not only gave him the commission to go rebuild Jerusalem, but also all of the resources that were necessary to accomplish that task. He came with letters of authority and provisions from the king because he had an intimate relationship, because he was the wine taster to the king. The king did not partake of a meal until Nehemiah had sampled it. If Nehemiah did not die, then the king said, then it's safe to eat. I pray that we develop that sort of relationship with God. Not that there's any threat to God's safety, but we become that trusted servant that says, you know what, that person comes to me multiple times a day just to ask this question: God, is there anything I can do for you? You see, all of this starts out as give us this day our daily bread. Nehemiah, when he goes on his mission, he does go on it with the blessings of the king, but it was because he had a history of tending to the needs of the royal family. So I encourage you to wait upon the Lord. And it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has enough strength to help you and I to accomplish things that we could never accomplish in our own. I was thinking the other day, my parents' church, they had a number of people who passed away in a very short period of time. Some of them through natural means and some of them through very tragic means. There were some expressions of grief and sorrow and heartache. And in the midst of that, as I was reflecting upon all that, God took me back to the caterpillar and how that caterpillar will build a cocoon, and it will, for all intents and purposes, be dead. It'll be cut off from its other caterpillar friends. There's a separation that takes place there, and I don't understand how all of that takes place. I really don't. You know, I have a minimal understanding of it. But somehow God has created that process to cause that caterpillar to be transformed into a butterfly that is more beautiful than it ever was as a caterpillar. And it can soar to new heights that it never could have gotten to as a caterpillar. And it has a different nature and a different purpose that it never had when it was just a caterpillar. And so what looked like a horrible cutting off and the end of a relationship as we know it, caused that creature that God created to be metamorphosized into something with a higher purpose and a higher calling. A caterpillar is all about consumption. It is all about eating everything and anything in its sight. And a butterfly is transformed into a different nature, and all it is concerned with doing once it emerges from that cocoon is not how beautiful do I look, but it is about how much life can I spread. It becomes a life propagator because it has been transformed. And you, as I was thinking about the deaths of those saints, I thought, you know, we do mourn, but we don't mourn as the world mourns. Because for the believer, what happens is the mortal puts on immortality and the corruptible puts on incorruptibility. And no longer is that believer on this side of the grave susceptible to temptation. No longer are they subjected to the human frailties. No longer are they driven by just what they can accumulate for themselves. But now, as a transformed child of God, they live to be in the presence of the King. They are more beautiful. They have gone from one level of glory to a higher level of glory. And now they sing forth the praises of Him. And now they are that great cloud of witnesses that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12 that are cheering us on, that said, look, I made it because of the grace of Jesus Christ, and you can make it too. So today, if you're here on this Tuesday and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling weary, I encourage you to find some time to get into the presence of God, even if it's on your coffee break or your lunch hour, and just say, God, today, you know, I know that I need you to give me today my daily bread, but is there anything that I can do for you? You know, I pray that we would become more obsessed with God's face than we are with God's hand. Because when you have His face, you will have His provision. When we ignore His person, we cut ourselves off from the provision that He wants to bless us with. So, I'm gonna take you one more place, and it's in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, it's not, you know, it's right in the neighborhood of Proverbs there, right next door. Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And it says, verse number 9, what profit has the worker from that which in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And over into Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let me see. Verse number 18. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. God wants to give you and I satisfaction and enjoyment in our work. He's not just looking to, you know, use us for a task and then throw us on the ash heap of life, but instead, He's looking for us to recognize that through us, God has done great things. There was, you know, I deal with people, and people are not like dealing with a car. They're not like dealing with construction materials or anything like that, because oftentimes you cannot see what God is doing in the heart of someone else. You have to trust by faith that the Word of God is going forth and it is impacting somebody's life. A lot of times there are things taking place beneath the surface that you aren't aware of. And so one day we were having a work day at our church, and I think it actually ended up being two or three work days that it took to accomplish this particular task. And at the end of it, we got done on a Saturday. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I was going to be preaching the next day. All of the men had come, and they had worked hard. most of them were doing a job they had never, you know, when we started it, we'd never done it before. But we figured out how to accomplish it, how to do it. And all the men came, they worked hard, they cleaned up, they went home. And after they had all gone, my wife said, "Honey, it's time for dinner." And when she said that, I was actually outside. And because it was something different than what I was used to, I was actually outside standing and looking at the work that not just I had done, but that the saints at Merit Assembly of God had accomplished. And I was just looking at it and said, "God, that looks so much better than it did before." And I was just taking a moment to enjoy the satisfaction of what God had done through those men. How long's it been since you just took time to reflect and see what God has done? It might not be a construction project like it was for us that day, but I challenge you that I bet if you look at your kids, I bet if you look at your marriage, if you look at your skill set at work, that you could see that God has developed things in you that if you haven't taken time to notice them yet, you might have missed them. And if you miss that time of reflecting, you miss the time of celebration, you miss the time of satisfaction and enjoyment. All are things that God wants to do. You know, I'm just thinking about this. I don't have the reference here, but I'm recounting a conversation that the Queen of Sheba had with Solomon, who had accomplished great things already when she showed up. And you know what she said? "How happy your men must be. How happy your men must be." Folks, today, as a child of God, as we're saying, "Give us this day our daily bread, God," we want to wait upon you. But I pray that it would be known in our workplaces and on our communities how happy the people of God must be to work with a God who created them to accomplish great things. "The people that know their God shall do great exploits." And that we can celebrate the victories that God has given to us. The scripture says God always leads his people in triumphal procession. That triumphal procession was when they had experienced great victory and they were coming back in to town to celebrate what God had done. May you have a week of celebrating, enjoying, and being satisfied with what God is doing in your life, at your job, and in your family. Enjoy what God has done. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."